Welcome back to the second half of The Grapevine. You picking some more grapes. I'm your host, Manan Sabir, and I'm glad you're in the building with us because we just picked some grapes the first half. We talked about the young lady who was killed in Jackson, Mississippi. Then we got a chance to talk to my brothers who I'm on a healing call with. That's not all of them, though. We got a whole boatload of brothers that are on the healing call. So when I say my brothers, I'm literally mean my brothers. And that was beautiful. We went through some breathing. We introduced the healing call to folks. And then what did we do? We talked about black men healing, black men becoming superhuman. That's what we need. We need more of that. We need more superhumans. We talked about safe spaces, keeping our kids safe. Individuals that are not keeping our kids safe in safe spaces, they need to be placed on a different island. What the business is, looking to discover and support local businesses in our community, then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local businesses. And the judge, there was a judge. Y'all got to listen to this. A Detroit judge. A Detroit area judge got caught on tape saying something super brazen. And I need y'all, I'm a let y'all know about this. Like, this ain't the first judge. This is not the first judge talking about how racist she is. A judge by the name of Kathleen Ryan of Oakland County, Michigan, a probate judge, meaning she ruled on, you name it, guardianship, conservatorship, mental health, commitment cases, decisions that control whether a vulnerable person keeps their own autonomy or gets it handed back to somebody else. Yes, that's right. On tape, September 2024, she called black people lazy. She called, in her own words, "I'm not systemically racist. I'm a new racist." Let's play that video real quick.
That breaking news from the 7 investigators, a local judge accused of making racist and homophobic comments is vacating her position after being removed from her docket more than a year ago.
It's a story the 7 investigators first broke in September of 2024. 7 investigator Heather Catalo is here with what she has learned.
This has been a long process. You'll recall we revealed recordings of Judge Kathleen Ryan making some shocking statements. Judge Ryan has essentially been on paid leave for 15 months and once described herself in those recordings as untouchable. The Judicial Tenure Commission has been investigating this for more than a year, but they did not take action against her. Her lawyers confirming to me late today that she is retiring, and the vacancy for her position has already been posted by the governor's office for potential candidates to apply for an appointment to the bench.
I can honestly say that, okay, I'm not systemically racist, I'm a new racist.
The 7 investigators were the first to reveal the recordings that Oakland County officials say prompted Judge Kathleen Ryan.
I'm not systemically racist, I'm a new racist.
The 7 investigators were the first to reveal the recordings that
black,
Oakland County officials say prompted Judge Kathleen Ryan's removal from her docket in August of 2024.
Black. I'm so off of this Black Lives Matter. Me too. All this. Oh my God. Like, you.
On Wednesday, a judicial vacancy was posted on the state bar website saying the former Oakland County Chief Probate Pro Tem Judge was vacating her position on the bench.
The Honorable Kathleen A. Ryan presiding.
Good morning. You may be seated.
Ryan was a probate judge for 13 years until the Oakland County Probate Court Administrator filed a complaint against her, alleging Ryan had been harassing him, calling him after hours for years, and making racist and other inappropriate comments.
I've never met anybody that enjoys hurting people and brags about it the way she does, or intimidating people, scaring people.
Hutton says his complaint was not acted on for months, so he then sent the recordings of his calls with Judge Ryan to state and county officials.
I just want to make it right, and I want the people in Oakland County that come to court to get a fair shake, to have their day in court, to have an unbiased trier of facts.
If you're black from any other country, you're doing way better. If you're an American black person, then you're a lazy piece of.
Judge Ryan has been paid for the last 15 months while she was out of the courthouse, and taxpayers have been footing the bill for visiting judges to handle her docket. Now her lawyers say she is retiring and leaving the bench.
Judicial Tenure Commission investigations are not public unless they reach the point of the JTC filing formal charges. Again, that did not happen in this case, so the results of that will not be made public. Now, meanwhile, I did speak with one of Judge Ryan's colleagues, Judge Daniel A. O'Brien. He said Judge Ryan was a good judge, and he expressed frustration that the court was left with visiting judges for so long while the JTC investigated, saying that really left a lot of cases not having continuity. So at least there's some resolution.
Yeah.
She's retiring.
So let's talk about racism. There's no Google search on judges being racist. Like, how many judges do we know have documented cases of this, of themselves being new racist or racist? Like, what, you know what the implications of a judge being racist in court cases that you probably try are maybe 60% minority? That has to, you, man, the fallout has to be crazy. The fallout has to be absolutely nuts. Now, you know, whether or not she called criminal cases or not, that remains to be held up. But what she is a person who has to judge without bias. So she decides who is believed, who is considered competent, who controls another person's body, money, future. This is crazy. This is absolutely nuts. The major implications are like guardianship and personal freedom, that she should decide whether or not an elderly person or someone with a disability is incapable of controlling their own life. And this level of racial bias may have influenced whom she viewed as responsible. If you look at family control, and she ruled in disputes over who should care for vulnerable relatives, that her racism, her bias could affect whether she trusted a black parent, sibling, and or caregiver. I mean, if you were in front of a judge, and you, of course, you are not going to know whether or not they're not an old racist, they're a new racist. You're not going to know about that, but you dang sure can possibly test that theory out by showing up in court and getting something that's obviously proven beyond a shadow of a doubt yours. It's going to show your way. It's obtuse. It's leaned towards your way, and the judge completely rules against it. Completely. That is something that we'd have to think about. That is something that we have to think about. She probably ruled over due process violations and all that. Credibility decisions. You know, like, calling black people lazy raises the question of whether or not she believed in those credibility decisions, whether or not she believed black witnesses, attorneys, and families as readily as white ones. Wow, this is absolutely amazing. But we know what this is saying. We know what this is saying. He not only it's crazy, because the guy was like, man, she is a good judge. It's like he's trying to save face for snitching. But he let the cat out the bag. He probably witnessed, and you can only imagine the level of conversations that he's heard that he got tired of hearing just because he wanted to save his job. But he could not sit back and let it happen again. I mean, he may be a white dude, but he actually told on a new racist. So that's the craziest part. How we have new racists. What is the definition of a new racist? What is the definition of a new racist? What's the gap? What's the difference between an old racist and a new racist? What is that? Are we saying to ourselves, like, these new racists, man, they're back, they're into lynching again. They're into lynching black people in Mississippi. They're into hiding evidence in unsolved murders. Are they into all of that? Those are the new races, right? They use technology, and the old races use flip phones or rotary phones. What is a new racist? What does that mean? Does that mean that you're ruling as a judge? You're ruling against every case that doesn't go in the favor of, that goes against the favor of black people and everybody else? What is that, the new racist? Man, we have to demand. I think especially in our courts, we need to demand better accountability for our judges, and especially the ones who are new racists. We're gonna come back. We're gonna pick some more grapes on the Truth 101.7. This is the Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon. We'll be back.
I say what I mean. I ain't no joke, we ain't making no memes. If I pull up on them, I'm making a scene. Then I'm making them scream. Straight from the bricks, I need a lick. I dreamed about it since I was a kid. Unlit, how can I miss? Came from the bottom and got me a check. I'm a threat, I got a flex. You want the crime, but don't know what it takes. I am built different, I'm not what you think. I cannot lose, I go out with a bang. I hope you never say my name in vain. I'm with whatever, just not playing no games. I know they say I change,
welcome
I
cannot back, say the welcome back. I'm your host, Manon Sabir, the Grapevine, who's picking some more grapes. We are picking some more grapes, and August 5th, 2023, Montgomery, Alabama, a hat goes up in the air. Black America has never let that hat come back down. That Black America has never let that hat come back down. Y'all can't let that hat has to stay in the air. It's our bat call. It's our bat call. The Montgomery Riverfront Brawl. It's the anniversary of the Montgomery Riverfront Brawl. 3 years since the bat call. And I'm a fighter myself, man. They was getting at it. They were getting at it. We got that video? Nah, it's all good. River. So this guy, his name is Damian Pickett. He asked, so I'm going to set this up. He asked a group of white boaters to move their pontoon boat out of the reserve dock. Words, you know, got pitched back and forth. Went into like a little shoving match. And then Pickett got jumped. I don't know what he did, but he threw that dang hat up in the air, man. And it was a wrap. It was a wrap. The whole internet saw it the next day. I mean, they had, you know, you already knew when that hat went in the air, he was out. I'm trying to figure out why he threw the hat in the air, and he just held his hand in the air like it was a finger roll, like he was Earl the Pearl on the basketball court. He just held his hand right there, and the hat fell to the ground, and he got with it. He started squabbling.
Lego. Hey, I'm really proud of y'all. Montgomery Brawl. Not one, but them all.
Yep,
Montgomery
Brawl. Is.
Shout out, bro, that could swim.
Do that. Oh, there it is.
It really all of them.
Montgomery, it was a wrap. Shout out, I mean, that was the flip. Like, even the white dude was like, man, all right, let me let this hat go.
Now done started some, so we gonna finish.
Y'all did.
And this time, everybody about to witness
all
it.
Y'all.
Bro told them to move, just doing his job. But y'all wanted to jump him, so now we got a problem.
Let's get it.
All right, bet. Let me tell y'all what really happened. Heard they was jumping on my cousin. Let me off, Captain. Cuz came out the water like, let's get it.
Yeah.
Cracking.
So
with the chair like I got some action.
Work, no well, after like that, it was everybody from everywhere. 16-year-old dude, his name is Aaron. He jumped off another riverboat and swam across. He swam, was swimming. Swim across. They could start calling him the Black Aquaman. Black Aquaman, as soon as, when he came through, it was a wrap. He came out of that water. He looked like he was soaked, and he just went and, you know, it was a whole nother holiday. So he came out. Somebody pulled out a folding chair. I mean, the internet just had a field day. The FBI actually what got involved, if y'all don't remember. The FBI got involved and found no incidents of like hate crime. This was just, you know, I think a family of individuals that had a pontoon boat and didn't want to move their boat. And then they got into a fight with these folks. Might have been drinking and whatever, but, you know, it was one of those. It wasn't something that the folks, especially the ones, the riverboat co-captain, and then also the kids who were part of this. It wasn't the fact that they wanted to fight. They wasn't out there to fight, man. They was out there to work. But the gentleman, you know, threw a punch first, and then once he threw that punch, it was a wrap. You know, the guy started fighting. He started, you know, the black dude started going into his football mode. So, yeah, I mean, shout out to the black the revolutionaries at the Alabama Brawl, and shout out to y'all for defending yourselves, man. I really appreciate that. Sometimes you got to stand up for yourself, because, you know, it takes a lot, especially in a state like Alabama, where a lot of things have a lot of injustices have happened, for you to stand up and fight back and fight against, you know, a crime. So I think a few people got misdemeanors. Some people got, you know, suspended sentences, community service. But legally, is not the same as culturally, Milwaukee. This became one of the, for us, it became one of the purest, funniest, proudest displays of black unity this country has seen in years. I mean, people was coming from all different parts of that riverfront. Like, you had the dudes, I mean, after the first fight, first part of the fight, when that dude threw the punch and them guys walked away and they banded up, the white family had banded up, and then black dude, I don't know where his crew came from, but they came, they had shirts off, tees, they was with it, and they started running after these people, and then it was on and popping. Then you had the young guys come through. And they did their thing. Then the older people. That one guy had a folding chair, and he was, the other guy, his might have been his brother, was choking another guy. That was a lot, man. Here it is. Here's the rest. He pushing people in the water.
Now y'all done started some, so we gonna finish.
Y'all did.
And this time, yep, Everybody about to witness it. Bro told them.
Look,
to
that, hey, look, there go Aquaman right there.
So now we got a problem.
I call him Blockwoman. Blockwoman was, hey, he was swimming like Michael Phelps. He got over there fast. He wasn't even tired because he came up. He 16 years old, handling grown men.
I even seen a rock bottom like,
this wrestling? Seen a couple of
guys
go night night, and we got the first black man to swim to a fight. Salute. If you mad at this song,
see, look at it, look, look. That's the crew.
And chair going down in history. And I'm really proud of Montgomery Brawl.
Man. This is absolutely the crazy part about this is like I'm surprised the amount of people that actually stay dry. Cause me, I'm tossing people in the water. They still like I'm tossing people in the water. You going ham. You out. Now here's the group of the young kids. They got to pulling their pants up. They all their shirts off. All their shirts off.
Lego. Hey, I'm really proud of y'all. Montgomery Brawl. Not one but them all. Montgomery Brawl. Shout out, bro, that can swim. Montgomery Brawl.
Yeah. We had to show the antithesis to, you know, to the hanging and stuff like that. You all can't. This is what happens. It's what happens when you mess with us. You get black woman giving you 21 right hands in the dome piece. I mean, he hit the dude so many times. Wow. Y'all got it. Man, this right here is absolutely one of the things I wanted to discuss today because, look, we're watching it. If you're on the radio, we're watching the entire video. The video goes bananas. The ladies should never have jumped into this because they were collateral damage. Part of this. One guy gave her a left hook. I don't think he wanted to, but it looked like for me as a fighter, we call that a check left hook. Check. You know, you don't go all the way through. You just, you know, give him a little we call it the side piece. Call it the side piece. And now you get the old men. The old men are trying to prevent the other dudes. The old men are trying to prevent the other guys from yeah. So now you got two dudes in yellow and in purple, and then you got the women fighting the women, going after the women. They giving them kicks and punches. I don't advocate for unnecessary violence, but I do advocate for taking up for yourself. And if it involves many other, there's the folding chair. He's folding people up. They had to arrest him because he was the one that took he didn't use his hands. He actually used an actual weapon. So they had to give him, they probably gave him a misdemeanor. Ain't really hurt because it was a plastic folding chair. But they arrested all the white guys and a female, I think two or three black dudes. So, yeah. I mean, you got to look at it. You have to look at it. This fighting back is okay. So I want to connect this back to many things that we talked about. We talked about a tree in Jackson, Mississippi, and the young lady losing her life. Judge hiding hate, hat in the air. An entire community not waiting for permission. They did it because they needed to do it. So shout out to the Alabama Brawl folks down there. We see y'all. We don't forget y'all. August 5th, we'll never forget. That's like, this is almost like a John Brown's revolutionary, Nat Turner's revolution. We see y'all. So Milwaukee. Y'all let me know. What did Chantel? I'm going to go to the chat. Oh, yeah. Jasmine West says, hey, y'all. Muhib Dyer says, indeed. You're talking about the brothers that were just on. Muhib Dyer said, good job, brothers. Chantel Bacchus says, and they say we can't swim. Yeah, we can swim. Yes. Yeah, we need an outro. We need an outro for this segment. Yep. And they say we can't swim. Yeah, we can swim. When it's time to swim, we're going to swim. And we're going to swing chairs. We'll be back in 3 minutes, man. Keep that girl.
Even the women getting hit. Like, what happened? Hey, this was kind of lit. Like,
rhythm is cracking. I even seen a rock bottom like this wrestling. Seen a couple of them boys go night night, and we got the first black man to swim to a fight.
Salute.
If you mad at this song, don't mention me.
Don't do it.
That chair going down in history.
Hey, I'm really proud of y'all.
Montgomery Brawl.
Not one but them all.
Montgomery Brawl.
Shout out bro that can swim.
Montgomery Brawl.
Really all of them.
Montgomery Brawl.
Shout out Unk with the chair.
Montgomery Brawl.
Everybody that was there.
Montgomery Brawl.
Threw the hat off at the start.
Montgomery Brawl.
Man, shout out to the girl.
Montgomery Brawl.
Yeah, this is a real good moment in history right now. Let us all smile. Salute.
Touch that fuzz, everybody move to the back of the bus. Hey y'all, listen up, I'm your host Manon Sabir the Grapevine, and thank you for tuning in to the Grapevine and picking some more grapes with you. I have something to talk about. Black women. I'm glad you guys are here. Glad you guys are listening. You're on the award-winning Truth Radio 101.7. We need to talk about something. We got to talk about your hair. I know. And I'm not talking about swimming. That's one thing. I know the hair curls up as fast as it can. We're not talking about swimming. It's a product 70% of black women wore in the past year. Yes. It has 169 chemicals. It's really the same stuff in pipes, pesticides, floor tiles, sitting on your scalp for weeks. 41 out of 43 products contained at least one hazardous chemical. 91% had a substance linked to cancer or reproductive harm. 10% had hormones disruptions. That's right. 10% had hormone disruptors. So why does it hit black women the hardest? And this is not like if you are wearing hair extensions, if you're wearing hair extensions and you just had them just one time, it's not a one-time thing. This is hair extensions, you usually wear them for weeks or even months, and then you kind of get them redone, whatever, in between time. But these are what is in the hair extensions are called PFAS, or forever chemicals. In a study by Consumer Reports in 2025 found carcinogens in all 10 hair braiding brands. All 10 hair braiding brands. So 9 out of the 10 had lead. And I'm not, hey, look, I ain't got hair, so I can talk about this. But I want to make sure that you all realize what is going on in your hair, because I do care. And this is related to the women who are wearing hair extensions for weeks up to months. So if it has direct contact with your scalp, your neck, fumes can be heated. And that's where the researchers based a lot of their research at. So some people can't even recall not seeing certain relatives without hair extensions. And this is, for us, it's chronic. For us, it's really, really chronic. So I'm gonna play, do we got that clip? The clip is about this lady. This lady did an interview. She was interviewing a doctor about the chemicals that go on women's hair. We're not gonna play all of it, but we're gonna play enough of it so y'all can get understanding of what she's talking about your
health. Hair. It's a story we've been tracking closely. Potentially harmful chemicals making their way into braiding hair and extensions that are often marketed to Black women. By some estimates, over 70% of Black women use hair extensions or weaves at least once a year. Now, new data released this month is shining a light on the potential risks of these cosmetic products. I spoke with the researchers behind these two new studies.
A style often deemed as protective for Black women is now under scrutiny as two new studies warn of health risks in hair extensions. On Tuesday, Consumer Reports revealing new findings that human, synthetic, and plant-based hair extensions from 30 brands have volatile organic compounds or heavy metals like lead.
Human hair by far had the most lead that we've ever seen in testing these products, orders of magnitude above synthetic hairs.
The study looked at three samples of each brand, and there were some exceptions. One product with no heavy metals, another with low heavy metals.
So that tells us that these manufacturers can make a safer product.
Nearly a year ago, we spoke with medical student Crystal Thomas, whose commentary on braiding hair led to Consumer Reports' first analysis.
I noticed my hair was itching and it was just difficult to breathe overall.
Now, research is expanding. The Silent Spring Institute, a scientific research nonprofit, testing 43 hair extension products.
We found chemicals in these products that are associated with cancer, reproductive harm, and also birth defects.
The hair containing 169 chemicals, including flame retardants and pesticides.
We found that all but two of the products that we looked at contained at least one of those hazard chemicals.
What substances most alarmed you and why?
The compounds that most alarmed me from this study were the organotin compounds. Those are compounds that are typically not found in consumer products. We know that they're associated with endocrine disruption in humans as well as cancer.
While both studies had small sample sizes, calls for more research and regulation are growing, with New York and New Jersey introducing legislation to regulate or ban synthetic braiding hair in 2025. The Safer Beauty Bill package also reintroduced in the House last year.
There needs to be more efforts to uncover some of the products and their risks.
For more on what these findings.
So if you want a copy of that, a copy of that video, you can just pretty much go to YouTube and look it up, because you know a lot of this is not new, but enough of it is. And now they're starting to do a lot more research, clinical research trials on the harmful chemicals that are found present. But what they did not prove is that these extensions cause illness. So more research is needed on long-term effects of the hair extension. But the straightener data is stronger. So frequent use of more than doubled of frequent use of straightener more than doubled uterine cancer risk. Yes. So that's what they're really, really talking about. And I wanna know for stylists that are out there, and we're going to talk about this some more, but for stylists, has a client ever asked what's in the hair? Like, do you actually take precautions when you are taking something out of a package? Do you actually look at what the ingredients are inside of that particular package in relationship to the hair, or you just take it out the package and, you know, get to working on a woman's scalp? Because you know, we know that a lot of these styles are protective styles. You know, like some women like to go swimming, some women like to work out. Like, these are protective styles. And, you know, to do a Black person's hair it's a lot of work, you know, because once that water hits that hair, it's a wrap. So, and then why does a product this widely used still have no ingredient label in 2026? Like, where is the outrage for women who are facing, especially Black women who have to, you know, maneuver around hair care. Where is the outrage for women in response to the ingredients that need to be placed on very harmful and harmful products? I mean, from the researcher's perspective. Like, I want to know. They have a bill that's out. They have a bill. It's a federal bill. It's a cosmetic safety for communities of color and professional salon workers act. So what they're aiming to do is they're aiming to put extensions. I don't know if the bill passed. We can find out, but they're aiming to put extensions under FDA for the first time. Now, I get it. There, you may be the person who's like, man, I don't want the FDA to regulate these hair extensions. That means that there could be a underground market in relationship to the hair extensions coming into America. But man, I would rather the FDA regulate, and for what it matters, I'd rather the FDA regulate hair extensions than our women continue to wear them and be faced with 169 distinct chemicals in your hair that you don't even know. We barely know the amount of chemicals and ingredients that go into cake batter. So I can just imagine the amount of chemicals that are in our hair. Come on, y'all. Let's think about this. I want to know what you think. Hit me up on the chat, YouTube chat, or give me a shout, 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. I want to hear from you. What do you think about hair and what's really in the hair extension, the chemicals and the forever chemicals that are in your hair? Because it's causing problems. We'll be back in 3 minutes for the Grapevine. This is the last piece of advice I'm gonna give y'all. Welcome back to the Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir. Who picks some grapes? You're on the award-winning The Truth Radio. Yes, glad you're here because we got so much to talk. We had so much to talk about. So much. But American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. For almost 100 years, they've been committed to helping families protect what matters most, your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you're building every single day. And if you're a part of The Truth audience, you already know you work hard for yours. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. My last piece of advice, y'all, and I'm going to close with this one question. When was the last time you looked at something your body wanted and told it, no, you don't control me? Not because you couldn't afford it. Not because you couldn't afford it. Not because the store was closed. Not because the doctor frightened you. But because you deliberately decided to exercise discipline. Yes, you decide to exercise discipline. I wonder if Black Milwaukee could fast together. If
your baseball game to the next level, GRB Academy's annual top.
If we go one day without feeding every craving, every clicking every notification, answering every insult and buying everything that's advertised to us. Because I think fasting isn't just an empty stomach. However, I do know that fasting is a way to prepare and repair your body. It's a way to what you call, we call that when you fast, you enter into this state of autophagy, where your body after 24 hours allows your body allows itself to repair itself. It's like when a lion is attacked in the wild, and when that lion is attacked in the wild or is hurt, they're not going to go out and hunt. They're going to retreat and go back to wherever their lair is and try to heal. And I think for us, fasting is one of the ways in which we can heal. Fasting is one of the best ways in which we can heal. Imagine this. Imagine going 16 hours without eating, and then the rest of the hours, the rest of the day, which is what, 8 hours, using those 8 hours to eat. So you're eating, let's say you wake up in the morning, you don't eat. And then at, I don't know, 10, 11, maybe, you wind up eating for that period of time, those 8 hours, right? So from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., you're eating. You're going back to bed maybe around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and you're doing it again. Within those 8 hours, you can eat, you can drink, you know, do whatever. But between 7 p.m. and 11 a.m., you're fasting. You're not doing anything. What do y'all think about that? Could you do it? Could you actually do it? Could that be a way to help you repair your body? A lot of us don't feel like we can do it. Because your body is really asking you. Your body is asking you who's in control. Your body is asking you who is in control. And in reality, you have to tell your body that you are in control. And this matters for us. This matters for not just our body, but our families and also our community. Our community is facing a real health emergency. Nearly in this is in America, nearly 6 out of every 10 black adults in America have high blood pressure, hypertension. Black adults have the highest hypertension, high blood pressure rate of any major racial group measured by the CDC and, you know, some of those other organizations. But let's be responsible here. Fasting is not a magical cure for hypertension, high blood pressure. So I'm not saying that, or diabetes or obesity. It doesn't replace going to the doctor, checking things out, making sure that, you know, you got to make sure that you are using the proper steps. If you need medication, get the medication. If you need movement, do movement. If you need nutritious food, do the nutritious food or seek medical care. But remember that doing the right thing is, for me, it's fasting. I'm going to fast. Usually for me is every Monday and Thursday. So I skip a couple of days and I fast. I skip a couple more days and I fast. Now, what does my fast include? What does my fast include? My fast is I eat nothing. I eat air. I don't eat anything. On Mondays and Thursdays, I'm not eating at all. I'm waking up and I'm trying my best not to eat any food. And what does that do to my body? My body, it takes a rest. It takes a break from digestion. My body takes a break from having to answer the call of digestion and, you know, urination and all the other stuff. It takes a break. And it's okay. It's like running your car across country and then parking your car, knowing that you pushed it at 100 miles an hour the entire time you ran your car across country. You got to stop. You have to stop. And a lot of us are, it's hard for us to stop. So, you know, I'm not going to say power is starvation, but power is creating a boundary. Power is creating a boundary between dinner and midnight snacking, a boundary between hunger and your habits, a boundary between what the body needs and what an industry trained us to crave. Fasting doesn't have to stop with food. But what if we fasted from sugar, alcohol, social media, arguments? What if we fasted from all of that? And we just came into the realization that, shoot, man, we can do this. We can do this. We ain't got to be angry. I guarantee you, if you are angry, if you're angry with yourself and you start fasting, oh man, you'll probably be even more angry and then happy that you got food in your belly after you stop fasting. So freedom is possessing. Here's my word of advice. Freedom is possessing the discipline to say no. Freedom is the discipline to say no. That is freedom. Hey, y'all. That's the show. That's the Grapevine. I'm glad you're here. You were picking grapes with me. Guess who's coming up next? Jazz. Jazz Tyler is up next. Tap in with Jazz. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We're still in the building.